Where's your hall pass?
No, I don't know. Where's your dad? Yeah, that's right.
Welcome back to Dunbracken.
Welcome back to Our Lady of Despair and Retribution's morning school announcements. Biology teacher Mr. Mildew has had his lunch stolen by the fifth year bullies again, so if anyone sees him looking weak or grey, please give him some of your lunch. The principal would like to remind everyone that the sun is not a fire hazard. Several students called in sick last Thursday claiming that they thought the school was going to burn up because it was too close to the sun. In order to calm the fear that is currently plaguing the town, that the sun is edging ever closer to the earth because it has started appearing an hour earlier in the mornings now, the MADS teachers are currently offering after-school lessons for parents to explain how daylight saving times works. The PE teachers have been granted time off this week to go see their loved ones after it was discovered that they both thought they had to live permanently in the school and had not left the school grounds for the past 2 years. This was only discovered after first year. Peter Tilford went to PE class and discovered one of the PE teachers to in fact be his father, who was missing presumed dead for the past 2 years. If anyone sees a sentient ball of green goop being chased around by a Robin Williams type, please steer clear. Mr. Mildew accidentally created a sentient Robin Williams AI who is now relentlessly doing bits at everyone, causing severe delays in class schedules. This year's talent show is sponsored by the Mr. Mildew Needs a Wife charity that the fifth year bullies founded earlier this year.
What's that attached to your arm, Harry?
It's Benji.
Again, Harry?
I don't want to send him away.
He doesn't look very comfortable. He
won't be very comfortable in the abattoir either.
For a moment.
And then, the good people of McCarthy and Sons.
Are you listening, pig? Are you listening? They'll fire a steel bolt directly into your brain. There'll be no more suffering. I should know. I have a steel bolt in my brain.
And that's your inability to feel.
No.
Because you seem pretty unfeeling now,
no.
Dad.
No, Harry.
Yes, Dad.
When the steel bolt passed through my neocortex, eliminating my ability to suffer, it also tapped into a hitherto unknown aspect for me. That of empathy.
That seems like a bit of a reach, doesn't it, Dad? You have no empathy for either me or the pig. In fact, you don't even need to have empathy for the pig. You just need to have empathy for me.
Don't you see, Harry?
Even the language, you're using, the tone you're using, not very empathetic, is it?
If you saw what I saw, you'd know this is empathy.
What did you see?
I saw...
You're talking about what you saw at the carnival last year.
Not what I saw, what I foresaw. I've seen the lads on the roundabout. They know something's coming.
The pigs have nothing to do with this, Dad.
The pigs have everything to do with this. Everything has everything to do with this. And it's not just adhesive that connects you and that pig, no. We're all together in a big soup. Boiling, Harry. Come, look at the calligraphy. Could be part of this.
So I've been reading over the plan for open night tonight, and, do we have to put the ugly kid to the back? I don't know. I think it seems unfair.
We're trying to get people to come to the school. The parents pay for the school. They pay your wage.
No, I know they pay my wage, but I think, like, how is Mr. and Mrs. Andrews going to feel whenever their kid, stupid as he is, ugly as he is, but he's right at the back?
I don't know. I'm with James. I just think we should keep them outside the school.
Completely outside the school.
I mean, ideally every day of the year, but definitely tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I think kids need to be looking happy and stuff. Parents want to send their children to this school. They want to know that the kid's having fun, regardless of beauty standards.
Yeah, but as Derek said, the ugly kids are also the stupidest kids. They won't know what's happening. They'll be confused because this is happening at night. Like, so that's not going to do us much favours.
I did have to explicitly state that the parent-teacher evening is at 7 p.m. over and over again.
Yeah, but I just think, like, could we have them playing games in the background or something? I'm just thinking we need bodies in and around the place to make it seem full. And I understand, yes, it's nighttime, so parents would understand. But again, the ugly kids' parents are pretty ugly and stupid themselves. So I think we need...
I see what you're getting at, and we shouldn't let them in either.
No, in the first place, no.
No, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, we were desperate for money at the time, so that's why we're not inundated with thick, ugly kids. But, I mean, come on.
I really think we should have a dress code for tonight as well.
You don't think the...
I'm just fed up seeing people in tracksuits.
Yeah, we should... A dress code for the parents.
For the parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good filter. It's just if they're in tracksuits, most of them come directly from work. So if they're in tracksuits, what have they been doing all day?
Yeah. They're not all PE teachers. That's a good idea. We'll get the PE teachers to bounce the people in tracksuits. Don't let them in.
Yeah, they could probably do that.
That's good. That way, I don't like it when they are on school grounds as well. So they're just outside.
Yeah, it's a good excuse just to get them out.
Yeah, keeps them busy.
How about this even? We take the PE teachers and all the thick, ugly kids and we have them out in the yard.
Or just run laps or something, yeah.
Yeah, just run around. Don't put the lights on either, just in case someone sees them.
People don't mind if a professional sports player is not great looking. I can work with this.
And I think that means then that people can hear there's an ambiance going on, so they can hear the thick, ugly people and not...
I'll tell you what, they're thick and they're ugly, but their laughs are enchanting.
Yeah.
That is true.
You want to make an ambiance, This isn't a party that you're running here, by the way.
I think it's important that I said the word ambience. I think there needs to be an ambience. They need to know that we have a certain culture here at the school that their kids can be proud of, to be part of.
I get that, but souffles and people giving out entrees and champagne flutes. Where's all that for the staff room day to day? Never mind tonight.
I'm fed up having to supply my own champagne.
It's very expensive.
Look, we give you the plastic flutes and we give you a bottle of Prosecco at the start of the year. It's not my fault that you used it up.
I go through that in a day. I can't have that be my entire year supply.
And also the plastic flutes. You know what was delivered to the music department? A load of plastic flutes.
We've got some thick, ugly delivery people.
Yeah. These delivery people are hideous.
If you've got a nice, long plastic flute, that's a lot to drink through. That's a big...
There's too many holes in it. I've tried sucking on it and it makes a terrible noise.
Okay, right. I'll take these under consideration for next year, but at the minute... I can't really do much. All this stuff, it's all for the prospective parents right now.
Okay.
You just can raise it at the next teacher's meeting, whatever you want to do. But right now, I think we need to present a united front for these parents.
I mean, you're the only one who's not in sync, I feel like.
Yeah.
But your sync is so full of shit.
Okay, well, no need for that language on school grounds.
What a pep talk. I'm ready to sell this show to the school now. Oh, our principal thinks we're incapable of presenting the show.
Not incapable.
I'm sorry. As a drama teacher, I'm just constantly thinking of this as a show.
Usually that's a great attitude for these nights, but it's just, you're also considering it like a show where everyone needs to be beautiful. And that's my main crux of my argument is that we need something for the ugly, thick kids to be doing.
Look, I can only cast so many hunchbacks.
We are giving them something. We're preparing them for life in prison, which is where they're going to go. So have them out in the yard, have them lifting stuff. What? Get them to clear out the old school.
And I'll tell you what, some of them have formed great gangs.
Yeah.
The fifth year bullies are having a bake sale on Tuesday morning at Brick to raise awareness of the desperate lack of funds in the third year pockets. The fifth year bullies are having a tough year, having discovered that Mr. Mildew has begun eating his lunch before school every day. All money raised in the bake sale will go directly into the pockets of the smallest, weakest third years, which will in turn allow the fifth year bullies to commence bullying and stealing lunch money again. School open night starts this Wednesday at 7 p.m. I have been asked to remind the ugly, thick kids that this is the 7 o'clock where the moon is present instead of the sun. The sentient ball of green goop, who last was being chased by Robin Williams, is now being chased by an elderly Scottish house cleaner. The elderly Scottish housekeeper is being chased at different times by a slender Eddie Murphy type and a fatter, more clumsy Eddie Murphy type. Neither Eddie Murphy seems to appear at the same time. The fifth year bullies have agreed to check the school ventilation shafts to find out the base of operations for either Eddie Murphy or the elderly Scottish housekeeper.
Hello? Is it anybody in?
No, nobody's in.
Yeah, tell them no one's in.
Yeah, fuck off.
Oh, I just wondered if you wanted to buy some cookies for charity.
What do you think we're running here? Well, you fancy some cookies, do you?
I do like some cookies.
Well, we better mask up before we open the doors. We don't want a squealing.
Also, I've got a cold. I don't want to spread it.
Oh, very, very good. But yeah, let's hide our bloody identities.
I have all sorts of different sorts. I've got chocolate chip. I've got minty ones. I've got vanilla.
I'm just getting myself dressed.
Yeah. Well, just give us one moment.
Right, I'm going to open the door.
Yeah, okay. Just a crack. Just a crack.
Yeah. We haven't got any crack. Just opening the door a crack, all right?
Okay, fine.
Sorry, we're so defensive.
We are very protective of our privacy.
There were some very dodgy-looking men outside. I just wondered. I wandered into the bad part of town.
Yeah.
Well, it's a more complicated...
It's that.
...answer than that.
I mean, I don't want to judge...
I mean, there's societal
...your
pressures.
Socioeconomic status, but I just,
yeah.
You know...
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Okay.
Do you have a knife or a gun?
No. No, I don't have a knife or a gun.
No, don't.
She's
don't
got cookies, though, hasn't she?
She's got cookies.
Just give over the... If anyone tries to mug you, darling...
Mm-hmm.
Just hand over the cookies.
Is that likely?
Well,
if someone asks you if you have a knife or a gun, you say yes.
Are you from the salubrious part of town?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's more likely...
I'm really very posh.
You're doing your bit for charity?
Yes.
To make yourself feel better?
Well, you know, the children...
Which charity is it, love?
It's... The children from the bad part of town school.
Oh, they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, poor little bleeders. Half of them end up being drug mules, don't they?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
And I heard that some of their parents are divorced.
Well, the lucky ones.
Sorry, who told you that they're getting divorced?
Well, not all of them. I heard from some of the teachers that some of the parents were divorcees, and it made things very difficult for the children who ended up selling drugs.
Ooh, this is juicy gossip. I like it.
You got any names?
Have you got names? Yeah.
Well, Mrs. Brown, she goes to my church, and she said that there's just big problems in the bad part of town, and we should care for the children because of Jesus.
Yeah, but who's getting divorced?
Hello there. Have you heard of the prophecy?
What?
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 Oh, I wasn't talking to you, but do you want to hear about the prophecy?
No.
Okay. It's pretty cool.
What?
I said it's pretty cool.
Excuse me, sir. You can't prophesize here.
Why not? I have a permit from the council.
Oh, sorry, sir. You absolutely can prophesize here. On the way. Someone mentioned a prophecy?
Oh, yes. I do have... Would you like to hear about...
I'd love to hear about a prophecy.
Well... On the 14th of March, 2020. I'm not supposed to ooh at 14th of March.
It's an exciting date. It's 2 days after my birthday.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's 2 days. The prophecy is that on the 14th of March, 2024.
Ooh, it's next year. That's soon.
Yes, it's very soon.
I'll be 42.
And then you won't, because...
Yes, I will.
No, you'll be 42 for 2 days, and then you won't be anything.
Ooh.
Because there'll be a pig born, which...
A pig what?
A pig born.
Pig born.
A pig will be born. That, reasons I cannot explain, and that I saw in a vision, the carnival. My son tells me I just ate too much candy floss. I had what is commonly known as a sugar rush. Pig's gonna blow up.
Pig's gonna blow up? Oh, well, I've achieved most in my life. I'm happy.
What?
I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go?
Yes.
What have you achieved in your life? What's your name?
I'm Reginald.
And what have you achieved, Reginald? Do you have a son?
I do.
Does your son try to stop you from killing pigs?
Not often, no. I've never killed a pig.
Never killed a pig? Would you like to try now? Here's one right now.
Is it attached to your son? Is that your son?
Ignore the boy.
Not very empathetic, Dad, are you? Ignore the boy?
I just mean everybody needs to kill a pig in this town. Oh, I see he also has a clapboard on him. I didn't notice. What's your prophecy?
I think it's going to end when the Lord comes back to us. The Lord's coming again. He's going to get you.
What?
You're rolling your eyes, Father, but this is what you sound like.
His is derivative.
Yours is derivative, too. Oh, you went to a carnival and you saw a prophecy.
I know what I saw in those dazzling lights. As I spun in those teacups.
Oh, spin in the teacups sounds very like a Stephen King novella, doesn't it?
You know that I don't read Stephen King.
No, but you may read Richard Bachman, Stephen King's alias.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'd be excited to know. I'd love to know more about your personal life, son.
It's the Bachman book, the four novellas. that Stephen King wrote under his pen name. Look at this one. Interesting. Oh, it's about a person who goes to a fairground and sees the dazzling lights. And oh, there's a mystery of how the world's going to end. Whoa, he's just woken up in bed. Perhaps it was a dream.
I woke up in bed. I thought it was...
Interesting, isn't it? I woke up in bed too.
Shut up, Precious. I'm talking to my son. This is the first conversation we've ever had that isn't about killing a pig.
It appears we have all been tricked by the elderly Scottish housekeeper who was actually being the Robin Williams AI in disguise this whole time. If anyone learned any life lessons from the elderly Scottish housekeeper, please disregard these as bits from Robin Williams, who was desperately trying to keep in contact with his child, the sentient green ball of goop. The sentient green ball of goop is still at large in the skull. In other news, Mr. Milligy has gone missing.
I brought my my inhaler with me, so if anyone needs it, you can use it. I don't mind.
What flavor is it?
It's mint.
Right.
And I brought my vape if you want to try that.
Vape?
Yeah.
Your dad let you get one now?
Well, my dad didn't let me get one, but he has so many and he doesn't keep track of them. I just took one.
What flavor is it?
It's scotch.
Scotch?
Scotch.
Jeepers.
My dad likes scotch vape.
So you stole your dad's vape?
He has a lot of... I just took one of them.
It's not stale enough to don't notice.
That's it.
That's true, yeah.
That's what my dad said. I could take one of your stuffed toys away and you wouldn't even notice, so I did the same with the vape.
What's your dad doing with your stuffed toys?
No, I didn't ask. I think he was just threatening to take them away because I have so many, but that's just because I'm so good at the claw machine.
He is very good at the claw machine.
The secret is that at the back, the glass panel's not properly attached. You can just sort of nudge it open and grab the stuff.
That's stealing.
It's not stealing.
They haven't noticed.
Oh, they haven't noticed. Yeah, right now.
They just say if you can grab it, it's yours. It's just I don't use the claw. Which one did you nail there? Did the other one just to balance it out?
I don't feel good. Oh, I think it was the scotch. Oh, why is your dad like this?
He says it makes him feel better, so I don't know. Maybe it's just you.
His dad needs to feel better because he lost his job. So
that's true.
Yeah, but that's fine. He's got all the things brewing in. He's got great things. He said he was underappreciated, and he's going to show them all.
That's what he said when your mum left, though, too.
And she's dead now, and so he must have showed her.
My dad didn't kill my mum. People stop saying that.
It was in
my
the
mum died. It died when that cruise ship sunk.
But she was the only one that died.
That's because she was helping others.
Yeah, but they knew. The reports say she got on a lifeboat. She was on a lifeboat was the last report.
Yes. Yeah, look, it started sinking. She was helping people on a lifeboat, and then she went on the last lifeboat by herself, and then they lost track of it. And don't shake your head. This is true.
I just don't believe that your dad didn't use a fake name, get on the boat, and murder your mom.
No, my dad barely got out of bed after my mom left. It couldn't have been him.
He is very lazy. That's why he lost his job.
That's true. Yeah.
He's not lazy. He does things at his own speed.
That sounds like something he's told you.
Obviously he told me.
Stop being your dad's puppet. Be your own person. Get a different vehicle.
Avenge your mom.
My mom wasn't killed. She just died on a cruise ship trying to save others when her life...
You know what they always say? It's better to avenge your mom than ask for forgiveness.
Okay, look. If I am going to avenge her, I need to be sure he actually did it, because I don't see how he could have done it. He's been banned from that cruise ship.
Yeah, they had to get bouncers on that cruise ship to stop him getting
I mean, yeah, they went there for the honeymoon, and then he got too drunk, even by cruise standards, and then kept trying to argue that he should be the captain, and then they kicked him out in Rome, and he had to travel home by himself. So he couldn't have been on the cruise ship, because they still look out for him.
I think you're glossing over the fact where he pushed the captain into the water and they had to fish him out.
I didn't gloss over it. I just choose not to say it.
I don't know. It seems like you're just not allowing yourself to believe that your father murdered your mother.
I just think he's too sad to do it.
That's what all the murderers say. I'm too sad.
You don't think they all say that?
Every murder that's happened in this town, everyone's defense is like, I couldn't have done it. I'm real sad. And yes, that worked for four of them at the start, but then the jury started catching on. It's a small town, gossip spreads.
And it's the same jury nearly every time, statistically.
Yeah, no, they
need to sort that out. I've been on it three times and I'm only seven.
Wow, that's amazing. I haven't got a chance yet. I think they only know a certain amount of addresses and they just keep sending them out to them.
Yeah, we just got rid of a postbox to stop getting jury summons.
That's so smart. Why am I not getting any?
We also don't get bills now, so my dad doesn't have to pay electric.
I did think it was weird that they had that jury there for your dad and your mum's divorce proceedings.
I think some of those people are just homeless and hanging out there.
If you haven't been on a jury yet, if you had to be on a jury for a crime, what crime would it be?
Oh,
and are they guilty or not guilty?
Obstruction of justice. Mm. I want to see someone perjure themselves live in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
Like someone who's been like, no officer, I didn't move the car. And then they're like, oh wait, he did move the car. Because he lied about it. I want to see someone lie barefaced after putting their hand on a Bible.
See, that's a good one because it has cars in it and I like cars.
Cars are great. That's
great. Mm-hmm. Your dad lost his car, didn't he? They had to take it away.
He didn't lose it. He knows where it is. They just took it. Yeah, they took it away.
Mr. Mildew has been discovered in the ventilation shaft above the biology class. It appears that the fifth-year bullies only volunteered to help the school catch the Eddie Murphy types to gain access to the ventilation shaft in order to hide Mr. Mildew up there after they had organised a date for him via the Mr. Mildew Needs a Wife Foundation. Mr. Mildew began to freak out as the date got closer and closer to arriving, so the fifth-year bullies stuffed him in the ventilation shaft and went on the date themselves. Mr. Mildew now has a girlfriend. However, she believes that Mr. Mildew is a 9-foot-tall monstrosity as she has been on 3 dates now with the fifth-year bullies in a very large trench coat. The fifth-year bullies claim they have no feelings for the woman and are slowly trying to lower their height 3 inches per date so that she will eventually believe the 9-foot monster that she has initially met was just a trick of the eye and Mr. Mildew is actually just a regular 6-foot monstrosity. As Mr. Mildew is currently in the vent, we cannot confirm if he is responsible for the elderly woman referring to herself as Big Mama, who has begun chasing the larger Eddie Murphy, who is chasing Robin Williams, who is no longer an elderly Scottish woman, who is chasing the sentient ball of green goop. As it currently stands, only Big Mama is school approved to hand out life lessons to the pupils. Any life lessons bestowed upon you by anyone else should be discarded as communist propaganda.
Do you want to shoot, son?
Do you want to shoot what, Dad? We didn't just wander aimlessly past this point.
Been here before. This is where...
Oh, hey! You got a big steel bolt in your head.
Well, I'm trying to talk to my... What's your name?
Farquaad.
Your name is Farquaad.
Yes, the Connie.
Farquaad, give me just one moment with my son.
Certainly. Hey, ma'am, would you like to shoot?
Look at his narrow eyes, Harry. His narrow swine eyes.
Have a stuffed unicorn. Huzzah!
His gnarled hands. Seemingly... cloven in two.
You're suggesting that Carney...
Harry, I don't know what to believe. I brought you here so that you could shoot a steel bolt into my head, dislodge the previous steel bolt, and perhaps remove myself of these startling visions.
I thought that you wanted me here to find some sort of natural affinity with the steel bolt shooter and then kill Benji.
Well, I did, and then I didn't.
Well, have you decided? Would you like a gun?
Yes.
Here you go.
Thank you.
You gonna take your shot?
Oh, God. Step out of the firing range.
No, this is where I am.
I'm going to step in front of you. I've stepped in front of him. Take the shot, boy. Release your old man. Last night, I dreamt of Carrie too. It was not good.
Okay, Dad.
Yes.
Ah, the old shoot a steel bolt out of your head trick. Ah, we get this. Why is this once a man week still here? This is my booth.
It's up to you now, son. Shoot your old man.
Shoot him. Okay. I'm going to take the shot. Wonderful.
Wait. Let the pig shoot.
Okay, Benji, decide.
Oh, he's dead. He's been dead. Oh, he's very grey. Did you feed him when he was... Did you feed the pig at any point?
Oh, my brains.
Back to Dunbracken is created, produced and edited by Conleth McVeigh. For more information on the podcast, including the weekly town newsletter, you can follow us at DunbrackenPod on Instagram. This episode featured Patrick Meyer, Marcus Keeley, Paul Moon, Niall McKenna, Gemma Burnett, and Robert Vaughan. The opening and closing music was created by Connor Mallon, and you can check out his entire album, Unearthed, on Spotify now. Thank you for listening. We look forward to welcoming you back to Dumbracken very soon.